Today is the final Sunday of Advent, Advent number four. And so for the last 4 weeks, we've been preparing for Christmas. We've been hearing of the promises of God, promises that came through the prophets centuries and centuries ago. We heard of God's vision and plan for the world, for us, for all creation, and God's promise to see that vision fulfilled. Now, we don't have to look far to work out that this world is not what God planned or proposed it to be. Of course, the scripture tells us that in the beginning, in the creation story, God saw all that he had made and it was good. But sadly, people just like us, made a mess of that. And for centuries after that, we've continued in our own special way to mess that up. There was a cartoon a couple of years ago showing God sitting majestically on a heavenly throne with stars twinkling all around. And off in the distance, the planet Earth was spinning happily away, visible in the distance. And God is looking at the Earth and he says, "Don't you make me have to come down there." And when I hear that, I hear my mother. My mother must sound like God sometimes. But coming down here is exactly what God did. The God of all creation joined his creation by becoming one of us. And the gospel reading today recounts Mary's song. If we read a few verses before this song, we see that Mary sings this song as she runs to tell her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant, to tell her what had happened. And the meeting of Elizabeth and Mary is the most powerful encounter. We're familiar, and we often see on our TV screens where heads of state have got together to work out some problem or other, or some kind of summit meeting to discuss issues that are going to influence the world. But perhaps these great leaders don't have one sket of an influence on the world as much as these two simple women did, who met in this humble little mountain village. God's promises emerge from the humble, not the powerful. And as Mary, newly pregnant, runs to tell Elizabeth, and as Elizabeth hears the greeting, the scripture tells us that the child Elizabeth was carrying leaped for joy in her womb. In this moment, they identified God's action in the world and the part that they're going to play. Elizabeth was carrying the child, of course, John the Baptist, the one who would have a ministry that by his preaching and by his lifestyle would prepare the way for the one sent from God. And now God's purposes are coming together. These two women see with the eyes of faith and they believe. The long-awaited deliverance, that long-awaited for centuries, heard by the prophets, waiting and waiting for deliverance, is about to happen. No wonder the child leapt in her womb at their meeting. The spirit is active, and not only does the baby leap, but Elizabeth recognizes the action of God and shouts out praise to God and blessing on Mary. The text tells us that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit at that moment, and the Spirit was revealing God's action to her. Elizabeth calls Mary the mother of my Lord. She recognizes what's happening with Mary at that point, what God is doing. The mother of my Lord, she said. The meeting confirms to Mary all that the angel has told her. Imagine, the angel's told her this amazing, unbelievable thing is going to happen. But the meeting confirms that. She realizes that God is acting to fulfill his promise. And then Mary breaks into song with the joy of the words. But the song that Mary sings is no lullaby. It's a battle song. It's a war cry. It's the kind of statement, if made out loud, would get you thrown in jail in many countries. Because through Mary, God is breaking into a troubled world. God is moving politically, economically, strategically. And she pronounces that those in power will be cast down. They don't usually take that too well, you know. And she proclaims the lowly and the oppressed are to be lifted up. a great transfer of power is about to happen, is being prophesied. And Advent expects that transition. They've been waiting for this deliverance, and now this salvation is coming to them. God is fulfilling his promise. And who does he choose? Mary. Most lowly, most insignificant, most unlikely. For goodness sake, she was a woman. She was a girl. Women didn't rate highly in that culture, not highly in the sense of being believed or presenting valid facts. They weren't listened to. But here's Mary, young as well, not with the experience of years. But God recognized in her a quality of faithfulness that he chose to use. And in order to be able to fulfill his promises, God works through people. People like Elizabeth, people like Mary, people like us, like you, like me. Doesn't matter how insignificant we feel or not special, God works through us, chooses to do that. And God chooses to relate to us in an unimaginable way. Comes to us as a human being. Who'd have thought? A human being. And not shot out of the sky like a Mr. Bean episode. You know Mr. Bean? Yeah. Where he just sort of shoots out of the sky and lands and whoompo, there he is. Doesn't come as an alien from another planet appearing in human form. No, God chose to relate so fully, so completely with us. All that we are, all that we experience, the pain and the joy, that he chose to become just as we are. He sent Jesus, not zooming in like some Superman, plucking us from every difficulty, not floating centimetres above the ground, not as a ghostly apparition, but as a person, as one of us. Jesus came as a baby. The kids all know that. A baby, the most vulnerable, lowly, defenseless form of human life that we know. God, fully divine, becomes fully human. And God chose to work his promises and purposes out in a form that we can identify with. We can identify with it because it's how we are. We're human. And as God continues to work his purposes out in the world in this time between the two Advents, this Advent of waiting for his coming and the Advent of his coming again, as God works out his purposes in this in-between time, he works through us. He chooses those of us who are his followers, who know the good news, who know his love, his joy, his peace, his hope, his good news, to do his work in the world. God chose Mary. And at that point, the human and the divine are no longer poles apart. There is hope for humanity. And if we're to catch a glimpse of what God is doing, to experience Christmas, we need to learn from Mary. Let's look at Mary. Let's note her faithfulness, the faithful response of Mary. When she's visited by the angel and this message is given to her, she agrees to become God's servant. Many of us would want to run a mile, but no, she agrees as she hears God's voice, as she can listen to what God is saying. She accepts and she trusts the words that are spoken to her. She's often spoken of as the first disciple because she followed, agreed, and trusted God. As she listened to him, she was receptive to God's plan, not fixed on her own plan or deciding what she thought the best way God should do something. She went with his plan, as crazy as it sounded. And Elizabeth said to her, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." She believed that God would do what God said he would do. So she was willing to be involved in God's plan. And this wasn't some kind of passive acquiescence of a powerless woman. It was a deliberate choice, expression of her love and devotion to God, recognition of her call to discipleship, willing and courageous response to an unusual and difficult future. Her response, of course, is, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." There's a model for us of discipleship, of being involved in God's plan. It's a kind of discipleship, this kind of commitment that we find God leaves his treasure. He left and trusted his treasure in Mary. And in Mary, just like as in Mary, God leaves and trusts his treasure in each one of us who trust him. And Christ is born anew in us. And God trusts us with that treasure of his good news. As we celebrate God coming to us this Christmas, God comes to people, is present in the world by his Spirit and works through people. Those who are open to hear his voice, receptive of his plan, willing to be obedient and catch a vision of his purposes, are willing and courageous enough to follow him and have the faith to believe that what God says he will do, he will fulfill all that he's promised. It was more than a century ago, but it was December 1903, that after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Sounds amazing now, isn't it? As we sat and watched yesterday, was it 6 or 7 planes went over in about half an hour, went over our house, carrying hundreds of people. But it was 1903, and they were the first to get their flying machine off the ground. Amazing. And they were thrilled, of course. And at the time, the best way they could communicate that, and quickest way to communicate that, was that they telegraphed the message to their sister, Catherine. And their telegraph said, "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Catherine was so excited, and she hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. "This certainly is news." And he glanced at it and he said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." The two men had flown, for crying out loud, but he missed it. He totally missed the significance of what had happened as he glossed over the message. God is doing an amazing, radical, earth-transforming thing. The story of Christmas is amazing. This Christmas, let's not just read the scripture, hear the story, and miss the significance of what God has done in becoming human, becoming one of us. Don't just glance at this Christmas and think, "How nice, Christmas." It's time for us to leap for joy at the recognition of what has been accomplished, of what God is doing. Amen. Let's sing together.